It's Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN. We're live in the Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. Here with you till 4. Just so you know, WGN, 720 AM, is here with you 24/7. We're not going anywhere. We're going to keep you informed. We're going to keep you company. And we're going to get through this. We'll all get through this together. Just know that GN is here for you. 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you would like to join us a little bit later on. We'll be playing some classic Carson, as we always do. Johnny Carson, you can watch the Johnny Carson Show on Antenna TV every night, and we play some classic Carson. Tonight, a couple of clips from two different visits from Walter Matthau, who was always hilarious and a great guest on the show. My dad's going to call in and tell a joke, because it's a jokey time. And we could all kind of use a joke now. We're going to talk about some unexplained phenomena and a case for boredom. And if you want to jump in, it's 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. My guest now is the author of a book called The Chronicles of the Unexplained. It presents a lifetime of true paranormal experiences. The stories are from a broad range of individuals, many of whom would be the last people that you would expect to be willing to communicate with anyone on such subjects. And this comes from the world of trucking. And so Gary Gillespie is the author, and we welcome him to the show. Hello, Gary.
Hello, Nick. How are you doing tonight?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Okay. Kind of a crazy weather night, though, huh?
Yeah. It's mostly in the south so far right now.
It is. Hats off to all the drivers that are out there. I'm kind of hoping they're all tied down somewhere safe.
Yeah.
But the south does not look good tonight.
Nope. Seems that. Where are you from? Where are you, Gary?
Actually, tonight I am in Des Moines, Iowa. We're calling that home right now.
Ah, okay.
But spent most of my life in Colorado. Mm-hmm. We just came back here again in last September.
Okay. Yep. So you're in Des Moines, okay? And you're all hunkered down and ready to go.
That's it. We're all ready to go.
Okay. There you go, Gary Gillespie. How long did you drive a truck?
Oh, gee whiz. All my life. Technically, I guess I'm still driving them. I had talked to Tom earlier this week, and primarily I weld most of the time now, welder fabricator for a emergency response company. But I also, when we have train derailments, large disasters like what's going on down south, I'll load up my own 85,000-pound track hoe or dozer or motor grader and haul my own equipment to the emergency site. And then operate, you know, do what they need me to do, and then haul back. And my wife is a gravel hauler, so I guess we are still very much truckers. I just don't do it the way I used to. My mother had actually started a family trucking business back in 1979. That's when I was just turned 13 years old when she bought our first truck. So I'd been in it at least that long.
Wow. I bet you have a lot of stories, obviously. I mean, you wrote a book about some of these stories that are happening, but this is like from an eerie point of view. We're going to get to that in a book. But what about what were some of the places that you are more memorable places that you would drive to, Gary?
Well, I have a lot of good ones and a lot of bad ones. Throughout my life, we'd done all kinds of different jobs in the trucking industry. And hauling logs is probably my favorite because of the remote places and the dangerous roads that we ran on, especially in Colorado. But some of the scarier places, I guess, if you put it that way, Bronx, New York, we would haul to a large market down there. Maybe 3-4 times a year, I'd end up going out there hauling product to New York. And that was a really rough area, especially in the 1980s, you know. Mm. New York was still really in shambles, you know. The city was broke, a lot of crime, and really tough drive once you were off the 95 down to the Hunts Point Market. And, of course, Los Angeles and stuff like that. You know, as a trucker, you get to just see so many cool things. I mean, you know, you can go take a vacation you know, and be a tourist, and you only see just that perspective, you know, the vacation side of things, the hotels, the pretty sights. But a lot of people don't get to see, you know, a sunrise in southern Utah or you know, a thunderstorm in the Arizona desert and stuff like that. I mean, just it's just so cool to be out there at these odd times of the day or night, you know, making your living. And for me, it was really kind of a paid vacation most of the time. A lot of stress has come with that industry that everybody, you know, everybody knows that.
Yeah. But. Well, it's interesting. I mean, it's nice of you to be able to appreciate, you know, your surroundings, you know, while you're on your job. I'm sure you saw a lot of beautiful things.
Yes, sure have.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. And so the book, The Chronicles of the Unexplained, tell me about how this started.
It started with a temper fit of mine. I was writing articles for the now defunct examiner.com, and they had brought me in as a trucking examiner, and we had owned our own trucking company during that time period too, so we were very well tuned in with what was going on in the industry. And the cool thing about examiner.com is that when you write an article, you can immediately see responses to that article. In other words, how popular was it to the people that were reading? You could tell how many hits were against your story, positive remarks, negative remarks, that type of stuff. But the main thing was the popularity of the article. Well, it would have been August of 2009. In researching for another article I was writing about the I-35 or the NAFTA corridor and some funding and some eminent domain issues that I thought were totally unfair, I'd stumbled across another story. And it was a group of large carriers that were banding together and lobbying Washington, D.C. to push onboard recording devices on trucks and speed limiters. And that immediately angered me as a small business trucker. At that time, we had 7 drivers and 9 trucks. And you could see as you investigated this, that this wasn't a safety thing. It was a market share thing. Mm. And so I wrote an article on it, a seething article calling these fleets out. And, Nick, it was the most dismal article I'd ever written. Nobody read it. No, I mean, it was the worst article I'd ever written. I thought it was the most important article I'd ever written, but nobody cared.
Yeah.
And so October, I said, okay, we're going to go another direction. And I wrote 3 trucking-related ghost stories that I remembered from my childhood. One was actually quite contemporary. It was only about 2 years old. And then 2 were from my childhood, stories from the 1970s. And wrote them in this article, all 3 stories. And, buddy, it was booming until Examiner closed the doors. I mean, people just loved it. And that's how I got tied in with Annie Wilder, who you'd interviewed as well. And those 3 stories actually ended up in her book, Trucker Ghost Stories.
Right, yeah,
and so that's how it all started.
Yeah, wow, that's great. Okay, Gary, hang on, okay?
Yes.
Okay, Gary Gillespie is with us, author of Chronicles of the Unexplained. And we've talked with the author of the trucker ghost stories, which is similar to this, but we got we're going to talk more with Gary here. And again, truckers out there, 312-981-7200. We always pay tribute to you guys at the top of the show, and we keep you company, and we keep you informed as well while you're out on the road doing your work. 312-981-7200 on 720 WGN.
Look over yonder, what do you see? The sun is rising, most definitely.
Yeah.
A new day is coming.
Tommy James and the Shondells. That's the first band that I was ever obsessed with as a little kid. Crystal Blue Persuasion, Tommy James and the Shondells. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Skyline studio, and we're going to be talking about unexplained phenomenon. We're going to talk about A Case for Boredom. We're going to play back some classic Johnny Carson, a couple of interviews with Walter Matthau. My dad's going to call in and tell a joke, too, because it's Monday, and it's a jokey time. Joining us right now is Gary Gillespie. He is the author of Chronicles of the Unexplained, which is sort of a supernatural group of true stories that deal with truckers and who've encountered some very strange things. Gary, welcome back.
Yes.
Before we jump into the specifics of the book and some of your favorite stories that are in it, Is there a misconception that people have about the trucking business in general, since you've been a part of it for such a long time?
Well, I think there is. I don't think people really understand the importance of the industry. I think I have a lot I can say on the subject of trucking, and I think that largely it's the driver and the owner operator that pay most of the bills.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think people really understand the tax load, the regulation load against that industry now, and what guys and gals out there are having to put up with just to make ends meet.
Yeah.
It's really tough, and it really is a crisis out there, in my opinion.
Well,
I haven't seen any support in most of my life. I mean, you fight for everything you get,
Yeah. Well, every night at the beginning of the show, we're at the top of the show, we say hi to the truckers and we thank them for what they do, because we know that nothing could happen without them. And so,
exactly.
And we have a lot. I mean, I host an overnight radio show, Gary, and you know how it is. You were out on the road. Lots of truckers listen to the show. And we communicate with them and talk with them and give them a forum and thank them. So we think it's incredibly important. So,
oh, it is. I counted on these types of programs to get me where I was going. It was wonderful to have that type of support out there, and it was few and far between. There's no doubt.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we hear from truckers every night. We do. And, and I've been doing overnight radio for many, many years, Gary. And one of the staples of our listenership are the people out there driving at night and driving their trucks. And we appreciate everything that they do. And we like to keep them company and keep them informed,
You bet.
Yeah. So, all right. How did you come up with this idea for the book?
It was Annie, actually.
Yeah.
I'm 54 now, but by the time I'd hit my early 40s, the ghosty thing was long gone in me. I think most adults sort of just lose that ability. Nothing scares you. The type of work we did, working out in the middle of the woods by yourself,
mm-hmm.
Driving through blizzards, it makes you hard.
Sure.
And I just, you become a realist, I guess, and I just paid no attention to that kind of stuff. Well, we bought this house in Western Colorado, and it took probably 2 years for me to realize something was wrong with the place. And we could talk all night just about the house and the signals that we missed when we purchased the place. But it started opening my eyes back to it again. And after that article was written and Annie had used those stories, I took over a location manager position up in North Dakota in the Bakken oil fields as they were ramping up. And some really strange things were happening there to some of my drivers. And so I had told Annie about it in an email. I said, I just can't believe what's going on up here. And Annie said, write everything down. She said, just write everything down, and we'll talk about this later. So I not only wrote what was happening to us up there, but what was happening to me in our house and stories that I remember from my past all the way back to my grandfather, And a good part of those stories were trucking related, and my own included, just weird things that happened out there and I never tried to explain.
And so then you decided, that's it, I got to write this down. And she told you to write everything down.
Yeah, she told me to write everything down. And to be honest with you, Nick, the manuscript kind of wrote itself, because it was just sort of weird how people would decide to come to me and start bringing these subjects up. And everything from, weird things that happened to them in the woods to paranormal type events in their family's past or stuff that happened to them when they were out on the road.
Yeah.
And so I did. I wrote everything down.
Okay. All right. So give me a little bit of background on the house real quick that you had in Colorado.
Yeah, we purchased a house there on the West Slope in Grand Junction, Colorado, and I loved it because it had irrigation to it. I wanted to plant big gardens. It was a beautiful house. It was built in the 1960s, but it needed, nothing had been done to it since 1962. It needed upgrades, and so my plan was to remodel the house. And I didn't really pay much attention to the noises and those types of things that were going on in the house. My dogs did, though. My wife and I noticed the dogs were picking up on something in the house right away, and my daughter started having a lot of trouble in the house. We had doors opening and closing, kitchen cabinets opening and closing, lights turning on and off, funny things like that. And I just, I can't believe how long I shirked all that off, because, I don't believe this garbage. There's got to be a reason for it. But after about the second year, I had kind of a funny event happen that really opened my eyes to it, and I kind of really had to start paying attention to what was going on. My son, of course, now he's what, 27, 28 years old. He wants nothing to do with any of that stuff, and I think it stems from his experiences in that house as well.
Wow.
So, yeah.
So that got you interested in that. And then when you started to collect these stories from truckers, were there's a lot of consistency to them or with their stories?
Yeah, well, I think the biggest is, you know, they begin with, you're going to think I'm crazy.
Yeah.
You know, and it's almost like they want to talk to you in a quiet corner. They don't want nobody else to hear, you know. And then when I try to tell them, hey, you know, you're not nuts. This happened to me. And I kind of tell them, you know, some of my experiences, and they really open up. And, you know, these are people that are just out there, as was explained, you know, at the opening of your program with me, that you're not concentrating on finding a ghost. You're concentrating on not jackknifing in a blizzard or driving in high winds or trying to keep from blowing yourself up on an oil well site. That's the last thing on your mind is something paranormal happening. And, you know, it's amazing what I heard and experienced out there, and especially in the Bakken oil fields. I have to tell you, that was probably the most messed up place I've ever worked.
Really?
What about
it was so messed up?
Well, police reports. We had police reports to accompany what was going on out there. I shouldn't say a lot of drivers. I have three occurrences from oil field drivers that were out in the field, you know, late at night, that had experiences either at well sites or en route to well sites that were totally unexplainable. And with our company, we ran 43 trucks, and then we would have a shift change at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. So you had the 5 p.m. to 5 a.m. guys, you know, that were running overnight. And, you know, severe cold, snowstorms, typical North Dakota-type weather up there, you know. And then we would run at least two truck pushers with each shift. So those guys, everybody was linked with two-way radio, so the drivers could contact these pushers if they needed help, if they got stuck, if something was wrong.
Right.
And then if need be, that pusher can contact law enforcement and you know, get help to these guys if they need it and stuff like that. And so that's how it became more real to me, was when you had the sheriff and an MHA officer there, which is the Mandan Hidatsa Arikara tribe officers, because a lot of the drilling was going on that reservation up there. And, you know, backing up what these drivers were saying, these people weren't crazy. They were experiencing something out at these well sites.
Wow. Okay. Well, I want to get into some of the specifics, too. How long did it take you to put this book together, Gary?
You know, it's amazing it even got together. I would probably in the area of 4.5, almost 5 years. And I don't know how many times I just set it down and thought, nobody's going to be interested in this. I'll just put it together as a really cool manuscript, make 3 copies and give it to my kids and some close family, you know, and just not even try to publish it. But Annie wouldn't let it go. She really supported me. I didn't even know how to use Word doc. I mean, it was so pathetic how I was in writing this. You know, that when I sent these files to Annie to review, she says, I don't even know what to do with this. She said, you've got to learn how to use Word. So I know how to use Word now.
Well, that's good. That's good. You know.
Yeah, it is. I got that going for me.
Yeah. Chronicles of the Unexplained. People can get it anywhere. Is there a website that they can go to?
Yeah. Yeah, no, they can get it off of Amazon, Barnes & Noble, just about anywhere.
Okay. All right. I want to get into details about some of these scary stories that you put in the book. And how many people did you interview total? Like, how many people who came to you?
Oh, I think we're probably in the area of 30, because I didn't just stay in, you know, the trucking zone. I wanted to go farther with this. And so I have a town in Colorado that I dearly love, Central City and Black Hawk, Colorado, those two towns. And I've known them since I was a kid.
Yeah.
First time I set foot in them, I was 11. And I knew about the haunted past, and there you always heard stories. But I wanted to research that a little bit more, too, and actually got hooked up with a group of ghost investigators there, which was probably the, you know, it was just an incredible experience that I had researching there. So it was people from a wide variety of backgrounds. It's just that, you know, my roots were in trucking, and, you know, I had so much exposure to these stories throughout my life.
Yeah. Okay. All right, Gary, hang on, okay?
Yes.
Okay, Gary Gillespie is with us. He's the author of Chronicles of the Unexplained, and we're going to talk about some of the supernatural and scary things that are happened, especially in the trucking world. And if you want to jump in, you're a trucker, and you just want to jump in and say hi, or maybe you've had an experience, you can text us or call us right now, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. And a big thank you for all the truckers out there doing your jobs. We appreciate it. If you ever had any kind of weird experiences on the road, you want to share them with us, text or talk, 312-981-7200.
Told me about her, the way she lied. Well, no one told me about her, how many people cried. But it's too late to say you're sorry. How would I know? Why should I care? Please don't.
All right. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Skyline studio here until 4. My dad's going to call in and tell a joke. We're going to play back some classic Johnny Carson bits. This time, by the way, Johnny Carson show you can watch every night on the Antenna TV, and we always play back some bits, whether it be stand-up or comedy, and guest appearances. And tonight we're going to play back two appearances from the great Walter Matthau. So right now, Gary Gillespie is with us. He's the author of Chronicles of the Unexplained. And, Gary, here we go.
Yes.
So what are some of your favorite scary, spooky stories in the book that you would like to share with us?
Oh, boy, I got a lot of them.
Okay.
But the scarier ones really aren't mine. The things that really happened to me, I guess I should say. I did have one when I was 16 years old. I lost my father when I was 9. Mm. Never got over it. I really had a hard time as a teenager not having him there.
Yeah.
And my mother had taken his death benefit and invested in our first truck in 1979. And I was sold on trucks. I thought it was so cool when you opened your show today with the classic truck, songs and stuff like that, because it put me right back,
yeah,
to 9 and 10 years old, where I would listen to these old radio stations out of Fort Worth that were, trucking shows, and they would play those. And so, anyway, she was just terrified. I think I was an only child, that I was just going to be, milk toast the rest of my life. So
yeah.
I lost my dad, but I ended up with 6 or 7, as far as these drivers that took me under their wing to show me how to drive. And so one experience that I had, it was just quick, and I think maybe this could be related to fatigue. I don't know. But my mother had beautiful rigs, hundreds of lights on them, lights under the dash, just gorgeous Peterbilts and Kenworths. And I'm coming back from New York. I'm 16 years old, learning how to drive. The driver's in the bunk asleep, and I'm coming into Indiana. And we had just come from a New York run, Brooklyn. We hadn't slept, and we were trying. I was really trying my best to help him out while learning to drive at the same time.
Yeah.
And I came into a real heavy thunderstorm in Indiana, and it was bad. I had cars following me. We had so many lights on our trucks, they could just kind of focus in on those lights on the
right.
back of the trailer,
right.
Reefer units, and just kind of follow us through that storm. Well, as I got out of the storm, the wind broke. I think it was probably 11 o'clock at night, and I'm kind of starting to relax and get tired. And as I was kind of hunching over the steering wheel, I looked over sort of at the passenger seat and thought, wow, Ronnie must be back up. And I looked over at the seat again, and Ronnie was still in the bunk. But I saw this, what I perceived as a set of legs sitting in that passenger seat, which is an air seat. And we had green lights under the dash, so the floor was all lit up, so you could see your can of pop or whatever you had laying on the floor, And I got to thinking about this, and those were my father's shoes. My father was an electrical engineer. He was not a trucker,
Yeah.
And he dressed his own way. And it shook me awake. And no sooner did I kind of spring back awake, out of this trance I was in, this guy got on the CB radio and said, hey, that westbound Green Pete, you'd better get in the left lane because the storm had knocked out all these warning signs. They were repaving a stretch of Interstate 80 there, and the right lane was gone.
Oh, man.
And so I jumped over into the left lane, and sure enough, it was like a 24-inch cut, and the diesel powered sign was blown into the hole. There were no markers there. Thank God the cars that were behind me followed me. And then I got to thinking, who in the hell would have known this truck was green at 11 o'clock at night? And so I can't explain
But
that's the one thing that happened to me. It probably saved mine and Ronnie's life.
Wow.
If you think about it, whatever it was. But there's certainly more scary stories out there.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. So 312-981-7200 is the phone number. So what are some of the other ones that you got? I know you got a lot of stories. Let's hear some more.
The Bakken oil fields, and I've got probably a top three that come out of that area. The first one is one of our trucks, our overnight trucks, going to one of the Liberty sites there that's on the Mandan-Hidatsa Arikara reservation over in western North Dakota. Now, at this point in time, most all of those wells were running what they call a flare pit because they were drilling so fast they couldn't get pipelines to these rigs fast enough to these well sites fast enough to capture the natural gas. So instead they just burn them off in these giant flares. And I mean, just as far as you could see, these flares would be these, you know, this glow going on. And so a lot of our well sites were up on cameras where our dispatchers could pull up, you know, they could type in Alfred Old Dog or Liberty 23 and actually look at that site real time. But at this particular site, those cameras weren't up and operational yet. They were in place, but they weren't working. Driver gets to this well site at 2:30. He's a water hauler. So he backs up. It's late March 2011. We just had a hell of a thaw, but there's still about 20 inches of snow around the site.
Okay.
But it all been pushed off. And then, of course, on the site, it's muddy. And he goes back to take a reading on the water tank. Realizes he's missing his 3-4 adapter, goes back to the cab of the truck, and jumps up into the cab. It was a day cab Peterbilt, to put his wet gloves up on the defroster to warm those up, grab his adapter, and go back and hook up. And when he did that, he noticed somebody was sitting in his passenger seat. Well, he fell back into the mud. It startled him, scared him, and then jumped back up into the truck to fight this guy, and nobody was there.
Whoa.
So he instantly got on the radio and called the truck pusher. And because this is a breach of security, you know, keep in mind, this is post Patriot Act.
Right.
People can't be on these well sites. You know, this is dangerous stuff.
Right.
So they immediately call a tribal officer, and a county sheriff also shows up, and they do a little kind of a mini investigation there. By this time, it's about 3:30 in the morning and very muddy. But guess what? No footprints. And the driver swears, you know, that there was somebody sitting in his truck. There's no water on the floor in the passenger side or anything like that. But what really set this driver off was the reservation officer or the tribal police officer said, I've seen a lot of this. And he says, I'd like to say a prayer for you, because he says what you just saw was evil. And it really shook the man up. And how I found out about it is my shift started at about 5 a.m., but this truck didn't come in for shift change until 7, brought with him the police reports and everything as to what had happened. And, of course, they saw no footprints in the snow or anything like that. That was one.
Now, what is it about this place that's such a hotbed of activity? Have you looked into it historically?
Yeah, I've talked to the locals up there, and they believe that it's kind of a bad omen that all of the drilling is going on, you know, on the reservation land, and they believe it's a bad omen. They believe it'll only bring evil to the people, and it will destroy them. And in many ways, it can. You know, they're reaping a lot of the benefits of that oil money, but on the other hand, they're fighting just like you and I would. You know, over money, you know, city councils and tribal elders and stuff like that. They're just as money hungry as everybody else on this earth, and it is creating a lot of trouble for them. And they believe that possibly skinwalkers are agitated by this or activated by this. Is that the right word? They're starting to see more activity out there because of the drilling activity. At least that's their take on it.
Yeah, you just used the term skinwalkers. Tell us all what that is.
Well, you know, like a shapeshifter or what I've, you know, learned about them is, you know, they can change form. They can go from human to animal. And they're, you know, in the native culture, they're evil.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing good about them.
And have a lot of people that you've talked to encountered this phenomenon?
Yes. 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 When you talk to the tribal people in that area, yes, they're very well aware of them, and they don't like to talk about them. You know, I had questioned them about this subject a little bit because of what was happening to some of our drivers up there.
Mm-hmm.
We had a second sighting that ended up on a radio, an urgent radio transmission. It was about 35 below zero, and the guy's pulling a truck and a pup. very icy this night, and the road to the location was about 2 miles long. And I don't know if you've been up in that area of North Dakota, but it's lonely. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's just nothing out there. And so it's very icy. He can't stop, because if he starts sliding backwards, he's going to kind of go into a jackknife, and there's no way he'll be able to get out of it. So as he's making a run for this hill, very early in the morning, 30 below zero temperatures, he passes a Native American that's completely naked, walking in the same direction that he's going. So he gets stopped to the top of the hill, turns on all of his LED lights on the back of the oil truck, jumps out and says, "Hey, get your ass up here. You're going to freeze to death." He's screaming out into the darkness, "You need to get up here and get in my truck." And no answer, no answer. So he called the truck pusher, who again called, you know, the tribal police, and we had more police reports and stuff written on that. This time there were footprints that were alongside the road, and they just turned off towards the hills and disappeared.
Mm. Wow, that's got to be a little chilling right there. Have you had?
It's weird, you know, and I have to notice it because it delays trucks, it messes up schedules, and you know, you need to know why. And so these are the types of stories that were coming back to me.
Wow. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Gary Gillespie is with us, and he is the author of Chronicles of the Unexplained. Some weird paranormal stuff that happens out there on the road with the truckers. And were you surprised, Gary, when you were doing research for this, how many truckers would come out and say, "Yeah, this happened to me," and "Yeah, this happened to me as well"?
Yeah, I'm surprised they'd talk about it. Because, you know, years past, I certainly wouldn't have brought it up. I mean, we have deep conversations with guys every now and then, you know, when you get to know them on the CB or you're running together overnight and stuff like that. Sometimes those conversations kind of lead down, you know, the weird side a little bit. But I found it very interesting how people would just come to me and talk. And keep in mind, I wasn't advertising that I was writing a manuscript.
Yeah.
You know, it was after I heard some of these stories that I told them, "Hey, it's funny you'd bring this up. I'm writing this stuff down. Do you mind? And can I use your name?" Or whatever, you know, just to get permission to use the story, because some of them were just amazing.
Yeah. It seems like it. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Are there certain spots, because you just mentioned that one spot that was a hotbed, are there certain parts of the country where more of this takes place than other places?
I don't know. I would assume, you know, that I may have lived in what I considered the hot areas. You know, we hauled a lot of produce out of Colorado through the Four Corners area down to the Navajo Nation, and that area is just rich in weird stories. You know, running 191 down to Mexican Hat and over to Flagstaff and stuff like that was, you know, you talk to locals and stuff down there, and it's truly a dangerous area to truck. I mean, it's so beautiful, you know, landscape wise that you don't think about really how dangerous it is in that area. I mean, just as far as violence and strife and stuff like that, you know, it's not safe to be a trucker down there in the dark at times.
Mm-hmm.
And but then the weird stories that came out of those areas. So, you know, I've heard stories from all over the country. It's just that I'm more of a Western guy. You know, I've spent most of my life west of the Mississippi River,
yeah,
you know, and especially west of, say, North Platte, Nebraska. And so, you know, most of my contacts come from that part of the country.
Yeah, wow. Okay, Gary, hang on a second, okay?
Yes.
Okay, Gary Gillespie is with us. He is the author of Chronicles of the Unexplained, which is about some weird things that have happened on the road with truckers. And we're going to talk more about that, hear some more stories. And if you're a trucker and you're out on the road and you have a story to tell, we'd love to hear from you at 312-981-7200 for talk or text. You got a comment or a question? Give us a call or a text, 312-981-7200. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Skyline studio here until 4. My dad's going to call in and tell a joke a little bit later on. We've got some classic Johnny Carson to play back, and this will be two different interviews with the great Walter Matthau, who is always a hilarious and great guest. Because we play Johnny Carson highlights every morning at 2:30. We'll do some stand-up, we'll do some bits, you know, play a little Karnak every once in a while, all that classic stuff. And you can watch Johnny Carson Show on Antenna TV every night, and I highly recommend you do that. My dad's going to call in and tell a joke, too. 312-981-7200 is the phone number, and the news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. My guest right now is Gary Gillespie. He is the author of the book Chronicles of the Unexplained, which is specifically about some really creepy and kind of supernatural things that have happened out on the road with truckers. And he's got a whole bunch of stories in this book. And we would love to hear from you. If you if you're out there on the road, we'd love to hear from you. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Here is Gary. Gary.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Okay, well, can you tell us about your first strange experience on the road?
Well, I think I probably already did, you know, with thinking maybe I saw my father in the passenger seat.
So that was the first.
That truly was my very first.
That was your first one. Wow.
And and I think it taught me, too, at a very young age, what my limits were. Because, you know, back in those days, I mean, a logbook was just something to scribble on. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you were hauling meat and produce, they didn't give a darn about hours of service. It's, you know, the clock started ticking at the minute of the harvest or the kill, and you just had to get it there. But I kind of, I think at that point, realized, you know, that I need to be really watching how I push myself.
Yeah.
Okay,
so, early lesson right there. Early lesson. You were 16,
Yes, sir.
Okay, 708 sends in a text that says, is there going to be another book coming out? My cousin is a truck driver. I don't know if he's got any stories, but I'll ask him.
Yes, there is, but I don't know how paranormal. I feel the need to tell the story of the trucking industry in general from about the 1960s on. And you'd ask me this question, you know, at the beginning of our interview, do I feel that there's any misconceptions?
You're right.
Yes. I think this industry is full of them, and I want to bring that out. I want to tell people who these people really are. I mean, they're in some cases, they're superhuman. Have you ever talked or met to the wife of a trucking company owner and what that woman does every day to keep that company running?
Yeah.
Or you know, and that's maybe, you know, a small fleet, 10, 20 trucks or whatever. These people are just incredible people. Or what a driver will go through in a 12-month period. The world needs to know who these people are. They're just not a piece of meat behind the steering wheel. You know, we talk about autonomous trucks and how we think that this job can be done by a machine. There's absolutely no way. And so I've got about 38,000 words on that manuscript right now, and I'm just really trying to push myself to get through this. And this is more of an industry-based story on me growing up in this trucking industry and what the people were like. Yes, there were some wild critters out there. There were some fighters. There were some cussers. There were some guys that did nothing but run in the left lane, constantly running illegal. We need to know them all. We need to know them all.
Yeah.
And in the midst of that, there are some really good human beings out there.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's one of the reasons, Gary, why we shine a spotlight on the drivers. Right at the top.
I love you for it.
Right at the top of the show. And we want them to know that we appreciate that they're out there. We know how hard the job is, and we know how essential it absolutely is to basic life, you know?
So you better believe it.
Yep. Let's see. Here's Big Ed on WGN. Go ahead, Ed.
Hey, Nick.
Hey.
Hey, Gary, did you ever hear of a place called Skinwalker Ranch in Utah?
I sure have. Been by there a couple of times.
Oh, really?
Yes, sir, I sure have, yep.
Maybe you could talk about that a little bit. There's a guy who bought that ranch a little while ago, and he's doing, I don't know if you'd call it, I guess it's a documentary where he's, you know, he's got these crews out there where he's filming all the crazy things that go on around there. And there's a program that just came out pretty recently. I think it's on Netflix. I'm not sure, but it's, you know, called Skinwalker Ranch. And I don't know, maybe you could talk about that a little bit if you know about it.
Yeah, what about, Gary? Tell me about the Skinwalker Ranch.
I will have to check into that program. First of all, I never wrote anything about it, but I heard stories about it. And at the point that I had heard stories about Skinwalker Ranch, I figured I was kind of overloaded, and it was a little off of my focus because I was kind of staying sort of regional in the book. But yes, I'd heard about all kinds of odd happenings down there, but especially lights in the sky. Mm. I mean, those were things that I had heard from the truckers that I had talked to. And then also, I don't think the name Skinwalker Ranch is really to be taken too lightly, correct? Because I think they've maybe encountered some sort of activity down there regarding skinwalkers. Correct me if I'm wrong.
No. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure. Yeah.
Yeah, so it sounds like a person could write a book just on that area.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
Like,
and that kind of shines to light that Four Corners, you know, comment that I had made to you. It's a strange area.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Now, see, so you've got a lot of stories in the book, Chronicles of the Unexplained, like sort of supernatural stuff that happens out on the road with the truckers and everything, but not all of them can be just like spooky or scary in nature. Have there been some positive experiences that aren't really scary, but unexplained, but maybe positive?
Yes. Montford of Colorado driver. So I had just loaded peaches with a guy, who was a former Montford of Colorado driver. And there's some guys out there that probably know the name of the company. On Interstate 80, the left lane was actually nicknamed the Montford Lane, and for good reason. So on the CB radio back in the 70s and 80s, you would hear, hey, get out of the Montford Lane, I'm passing here. Or I need to pass here some fast trucks. And I think it really happened when the owner-operators started coming into the Montford fleet. They were probably the most notorious guys you'll ever meet, and I mean hard runners. But so I had actually encountered one of the very first guys that was hired with Montford of Colorado back in about 1973, and he had told me about the tornado outbreak of 1974, which I remember very well as a young child. A tornado had come through Ankeny, Iowa, and tore it up pretty bad. Well, he had driven through that storm, come in out of Illinois into Iowa, and they ran pretty regular between Greeley, Colorado, and New York City.
Yeah.
They had a lot of beef customers out there, supplied Wendy's and places like that. So anyway, he had come through that storm and said it was just horrible. He needed to get to Omaha, where he was going to switch with his, you know, driver who was in the sleeper. They ran teams.
Right.
And he had come out of the storm, and much like I told you in my story, started getting drowsy. And by this time, he was west of Des Moines, Iowa, out towards Atlantic, Iowa, on Interstate 80, which has got the long rolling hills. And he was flat smoked by a B-model Mack out there. And keep in mind, this is 10, 11 o'clock at night after that major thunderstorm and tornadic outbreak happened. And he could not figure out how this guy could pass him, because these Montford trucks are coming home empty. You know, they're pretty well horsepower for the day. And this little B-model Mack just dusted him. So he tried to keep up with him, tried to catch up to him, but the truck just kept pulling away from him and pulling him away from him. So as the story goes, he saw the truck crest the hill and saw brake lights come on, maybe this time about a mile and a half ahead of him. And so he thought, wait a minute, there must be something wrong up there. And so as he crested the hill, he slowed way down. There was a hog truck laying on its side in the middle of Interstate 80 with hogs scattered all over the highway. And so he had actually, this is what he told me, blocked the road with his truck, turned on his four ways at the top of the hill where people could see him, and cars, vacationers, were coming out of that storm and had seen his truck blocking the road and stopped, and he went down, and of course the driver was dead. It was a big mess, and he believes that truck saved his life, but not a trace of that B-model Mack anywhere. And so when finally the Iowa State Patrol showed up on scene, he told them, this is what happened. I don't know where this other truck is. So they started kind of scanning the fields around, you know, the crash site looking for this other truck that technically should have wrecked.
Right.
And they couldn't find it. It was never found.
Wow.
Yep. So he thoroughly believes that old B-model Mack saved his life.
Wow.
So there's a positive one for
there's
you.
There's one.
Yeah.
All right. Here's Trucker Rich.
Yep.
Go ahead, Rich.
Hey, how you doing tonight, Nick,
right,
and your guest? Hey, when I first started my career, I used to run Chicago to Far Texas meat down, produce back every week by myself. And have you ever seen the Black Dog?
No, I haven't.
Your guest.
But I've certainly heard the stories.
Well, what's up? Tell me about the Black Dog. Tell me about the Black Dog.
It's like when you get super tired and you just can't, you should have stopped an hour or two ago. It's like there's always this big black dog or like a black leopard running across the road.
Hmm. Okay.
And, you know, it's more or less, most of the time I've heard it and seen it like down in Missouri, Arkansas, and the southern states. But it's kind of like this trucker myth or whatever you want to call it, that you see the black dog, you've just gone too far.
Oh, okay.
You're right. It is a serious legend, and it's kind of like a bad omen, isn't it?
So you've heard this story many times, Gary?
I have, yes, and I've talked to drivers. You know, we talk about fatigue a lot, and I did, you know, in my interviews and stuff like that, and I've talked to guys that have seen white horses run across the road. I talked to one guy that saw a baby lying on the shoulder of the road, and you know, just weird things, you know, something to get them shut down. But yes, I have heard about that, and I've heard it that it was a bad omen. It's, yeah, like you said, you've pushed yourself too far.
Right. All right, Rich, be safe out there. Thank you, Rich. Yeah, that's Trucker Rich. He's a regular listener, and he calls up all the time, and he's out there on the road. Listen, I want to thank you, Gary. The book is called Chronicles of the Unexplained, and it's really fun stuff. And I want to thank you for hanging out with us this morning, okay?
I had a great time. Thank you for having me on.
We did, too. All right, Gary Gillespie, everybody. And the book is called Chronicles of the Unexplained. And it's available everywhere you can get books, Amazon, all over the place. Really interesting and fun kind of a book, just to talk about what's going on out there on the road. 312-981-7200 is the phone number right here on 720 WGN.